It's quarter number three on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Time to Ask Ross. This week's Ask Ross segment is brought to you by the 409 Tailgate Club. For the best gifts for the tailgater in your life, go to 409tailgateclub.com. And always remember, tailgate with honor.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, presented by the Keystone Sports Network. You are about to enjoy the Ask Ross segment on our show, always brought to you by 409tailgateclub.com for all your barbecue catering, barbecue sauce, barbecue rub needs. Check out their site, 409tailgateclub.com. I would like to tell you guys, I regrettably am doing this, that good for you, really good for Ross, not good for Andy, that the 409 Tailgate Club guys are going to cater lunch for us next week.
Yeah, yeah.
And I won't be here.
We should just can't we just videotape Ross eating before a segment and put it on the website?
It's the second.
Just to prove how he practices what he preaches. Like, this
he
is
does.
Not Ross is not a guy that talks about his love for eating, like, and then doesn't do it. Like, he follows through. I would like maybe Jim, our boss, to kind of do a little bit of a video of Ross devouring the spread, and maybe we'll put a little 30-second snippet of it on the Keystone Sports Network website. I think it would be fantastic.
You know, after he did that paparazzi photo on Monday that we all saw.
It would be like
Jackal. It'd be a little get back for Ross.
It would be like jackals on a carcass,
yeah. And
he's all the jackals.
And my advice would be, when the 409 tailgate guys bring in their chicken and ribs and pulled pork and brisket and whatever else they bring, it's the second plate that you want to get watch Ross eat.
Yeah.
Because it's as impressive as the first one, but he always regrets doing it. So Let me just say, the listener with the number one question, I've got your questions here. The top one picked by you, Bob, because you're in the hot seat this week, they'll receive a tailgate box courtesy of 409tailgateclub.com. You'll get various rubs, sauces, and a tailgate with honor.
I want to just say real quick, I really liked the winning question last week. Who has more points, Jake Pinneger or Justin Shorter? I thought that was one of the better out-of-the-box questions I think I've heard on our podcast.
Well, I think I got a good one. This one comes from Jason in New Philadelphia, Ohio. She says, Ross, if I remember the Super Bowl right, the Eagles began getting pressure on Tom Brady when they began using four defensive ends on the offensive line, and that gave the Patriots problems. I believe Penn State has used four defensive ends before, but with the great depth at defensive end and lack of tackle depth, do you think we will see more packages like that this fall?
Absolutely, we will. Defensive end is a team strength. If Penn State can get teams into long yardage situations on second and third down, you're going to see Sharif, you're going to see Shaka, you'll see probably Buchholz, even though he's lost some weight. You'll see Kevin Givens. Kevin Givens is really the value of Kevin Givens. He's whoever you want him to be.
That's a good way to put
Coach
it.
Coach Spencer said he can play the nose, he can play the three, or he can play N, and he's done them all. So whenever Givens is on the field, they could be in a three defensive end, one tackle look anyway. So, yeah, that is a package that all the good teams who recruit well are going to use, and you're going to see – don't forget about – I always forget about Yetur. Gross Matos.
Yeah.
He is another guy that it's whoever you want him to be. I mean, he's big enough to hold up inside, and he's quick enough to play outside. So yeah, I think that Gross Matos, Buchholz, and Givens give Spencer and the Penn State front such flexibility with what they want to do, because those three players can play multiple positions, whereas Tony and Simmons are basically, you know where you're going to find them. They're going to be split out wide, coming off the edge, and you got to account for them. But the other three are so talented that I just think that they can do a lot. They can cause a lot of problems for offensive lines.
You could see a lot of difference. You know, they're replacing eight starters, and you could see you're going to see more 4-2-5. You've already said that, and you could see more.
Yeah.
Pressure rush defensive packages out of the guys up front.
Yeah, sure. We haven't talked about Torrence Brown. I think that's another question for August.
Yeah.
I wonder how far along he is, and I wonder how much he can help. It might be a case where Torrence plays his best football in the second half of the season this year, because I think that was a pretty serious knee injury.
Yeah, it was.
It was early in the season against Georgia State, but This is a tough group to make ground up on. I mean, I know he's
That's
pretty
good point.
Kid,
yeah.
And I know that he was on the field a lot, but I just wonder where he is. Is he on schedule? Are they going to play it safe with him because they have these guys? But he's another wild card, I think, for the Penn State defensive line.
All right, let's get another one in. Hey, guys, thanks for this great segment. My question is related to recruiting strategy. Which position can you recruit the most raw players and expect them to refine their games? And conversely, which position do you think needs to be recruited with the most polished players?
Ooh.
That's interesting. I thought it was a pretty good one. That's from Ethan, oh my gosh, in Mammer Neck, New York. There, I broke it down by syllables. Because I saw that and I was like, Mammer Neck, New York.
Yeah, I think that I just look at it in terms of who can get on the field the quickest. Like wideouts, you pretty much know what you have in wideouts.
Yeah,
I do think that Justin Shorter is a guy that I think there's a chance that he could have a big role this year.
So you could get a wide receiver that's raw.
To me, when
you
talk about polish, I would just go back to the quarterback position. There's so many things that go with playing quarterback. You can be a great athlete in high school playing the quarterback position, but it doesn't always translate, I think, to the college game, and especially depending on how sophisticated the offense is. To me, that is the one. I think there's also – I would say there's also some polish on the offensive line. I think technique is really, really a huge part of – you just can't have – Penn State's had some players that looked apart on the offensive line.
Right.
That just never really made the grade.
Looked like Tarzan.
Sterling
like
Jenkins, you would think – You just when he came to Penn State, he was going to be a fixture
apart.
On the offensive line for 3 years.
Yeah.
Now he's still got some time, but I think that's another position. Even Michael Mennett dominated in high school. He was flat out the best big player on the field in every game he played. And here we are in year three, and we're talking about him hopefully moving into the starting lineup. And he didn't really have to leapfrog a lot of established talent when he got here, and it still took him. He did deal with some injuries, but I think offensive line's another one where when you're talking about technique, I think that's probably the other position. Those two positions, I think, require the most coaching up.
Yeah, I go back to an FCS line coach who spent 12 years at coaching offensive line at an FBS school, and he recently told me 18 to 24 months is the ideal scenario. No matter what they are talent-wise, how much they have, he goes 18 to 24 months.
It's easier to play as a defensive lineman, far easier to play if you're good than it is an offensive lineman.
You're listening to the Keystone Kickoff Show, and this Ask Ross segment is being brought to you by 409tailgateclub.com. That's 409tailgateclub.com. All right, let's keep the questions going. Bob, so you can hear him. I got him right here. Let's go to Drew in Natera Heights, Pennsylvania.
I have no idea where that is. I feel bad because I like to think that I know where most of the nooks and crannies are. That is a new name for me.
Natrona Heights, Natera Heights. I don't know, but I have no idea where it is. He says, oh, great and powerful Ross, how would you power rank the potential starting five of Bates, Gonzalez, McGovern, Mennett, and Wright from most confident to least confident?
So you want to – essentially, I think he's asking me to rank Penn State's top five offensive linemen,
yeah,
right?
Most confident in the one from most confident in to the least confident in.
You know, that's a pretty good question.
And
I think Ross would answer it differently than I would. But I'm going to say McGovern one because I think that Bates has more competition than McGovern does at the tackle spots. I think that Chaz Wright is competent – for sure, he's right. Probably going to start, and I really like Will Fries. And it took Ryan wasn't healthy at the end of the year, but it took him a little while. He never really got his job back.
That's
he played, so I'm gonna go McGovern 1, Bates 1A.
All right.
And notice he didn't even ask about Fries.
He did not.
Okay, so Gonzalez would be, well, since he's got to be 3, it's got to go 1A 3,
right?
And then I would go Wright 4, and I would go Mennett a 5 with a bullet, because I think by the end of the season he could be 2 or 3. But I'm still not sure what Matt Leimer is going to do in August. I'm not sure who they're going to start. I mean, they could put Bates at guard, or they could put him at tackle. And if they put him at guard, that means Mennett's. on the outside looking in. So I don't know. I don't know how he's going to approach that. I know Ross is not a big fan of musical chairs. He thinks it actually works against Penn State, and he would like to see less of it.
Yeah, no, he hates it.
So if that's the case, I think Ross would probably tell you that Mennett should be the right guard, and that Gonzalez should be the left guard, and then Bates would be the left tackle.
The other thing was, it seems like there was a little bit of a pullback on Will Fries, and I'm not sure I quite understand it because he was very capable. He looked great in the bowl game to me. It's just, you know, are they going to experience? But it just seems like they pulled back a little bit on him.
Yeah, and like I say, things can change in a hurry.
Oh, they can change in a
mean,
hurry.
I don't know what that was either, and I do think August still has to play itself out, but he is certainly a very good player. I thought he played very well the last, you know, once he got established and once they figured out that Andrew Nelson and his bad knees just weren't up to the task of starting.
Yeah, we found that out in Iowa. So, all right, let's go to Mike in Philadelphia. He says, the decision not to reschedule Pitt, and instead decide on Virginia Tech and West Virginia for an out-of-conference schedule does it have to do with recruiting instead of fueling the rivalry? Penn State already recruits some of the best talent in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Maryland, but I can't help but think the next slate of out-of-conference games are a way for James Franklin to dominate recruiting in an even more regional states. And when I looked at that question, I'm like, you know what? He's got a good point.
Yeah, I also think that James doesn't like. I don't think that James likes Narduzzi even a little bit.
Not even a little bit.
He's made it clear he doesn't even think it's a rivalry. He recognizes that it was once a rivalry, and I think he feels like they're getting close to having their foot on Pitt's throat, and he wants to keep it there. Don't give them any reason to get back in the game. And I think a little variety is nice. As I said, it was once a great rivalry, but I think the fan base, and I think James wants to explore some new options. And it is the thought of Penn State, Virginia Tech, or Penn State, West Virginia was also once a great rivalry, is another interesting game I'd like to see.
All right, let's get one more in the final minute. So this one's from Brian in Miami. He said, based on Mennett's health history, he's been a little bit injury prone. Which position would best suit him long term and make him more durable, center or guard?
Boy, just real quick, James mentioned center again with him. I think the appeal of an athletic center who has size is it's rare air to have all those things together.
I agree.
I think that's what they look at when they see. I don't think it's a durability question because I think anywhere along the offensive line, you can get hurt. But I do think if you have an athletic center, I think Kelsey was the center for the Eagles. You look what he did to the New England front in that Super Bowl.
You're correct.
I think that if they could put Mennett at center, I think it's a game changer. I think it's a game changer for Penn State. And that, in a close decision, is my winning question. With the first one. I'm going to go with the last one.
All right, Brian in Miami, 409tailgateclub.com gift box is coming your way. That'll do it. Quarter number four closes us out. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today.
160,000 miles. That's on average how often you'll use your car insurance. But what if you could get help with more often? Maybe save a couple of bucks on clothes or at restaurants. What if you could even get rescued roadside when a tire goes flat or your battery dies? You can, when you're a member and your auto insurance is AAA. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about how AAA works at every mile.
Hey, Keystone Sports Nation, it's Scott Shirley, the Executive Director of Uplifting Athletes, inviting you to join us for the annual Gridiron Gala Saturday, June 9th in downtown Harrisburg at the Keystone Building. Features all you can eat and drink, tailgate food, and special guests, including Devin Still, former Penn State All-American and NFL star, and most importantly, the father of Leah, who courageously beat her rare cancer and inspired millions. Visit upliftingathletes.org to learn more and help us tackle rare diseases. Hope to see you there.